We're to set our mind on the things above, not the things of earth. We're to focus on the things of Christ, where he is, knowing that our life is hidden in him and will be revealed when he is revealed in glory. And then we're to put to death sexual sin. We're to say no to it. We're to not let it live in our lives. And we're to actually thus put on the Lord Jesus Christ and put off sin also.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, in today's broadcast, we continue our series in the book of Colossians.
Yes, we do, Dave. And in our passage today, we're going to see how we as believers are to relate to outsiders or those outside of the church. Okay, well, turn with us to Colossians chapter 4, and we're looking at verses 2 through 6.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, when it comes to evangelism, what do you think about? You know, often what comes to our minds is maybe crusades or whatever it might be, where there's an evangelistic crusade or tracts or whatever it might be. Door to door, someone knocking on your door, sharing Jesus, whatever it could be. Well, what do you think of when it comes to evangelism? We know in Matthew chapter 28, the Lord Jesus, in his great commission, in a sense, shared that we are to, in our going, we're to be baptizing and teaching. What does that mean? There should be a confirmation that people are truly saved by outward symbol of that through baptism and then teaching, that they would obey all that he has done and said. We see that. That's what we're to be doing. But for that to happen, someone has to get saved first, right? And we know the Lord Jesus, when he was with his disciples, he mentioned that the harvest is plentiful, but there's few to actually gather the harvest. And so we're to beseech the Lord of the harvest for workers for the harvest. Now, as we are here, we are workers. So how are we to work the harvest? How are we to interact in the context of those who don't know Christ? Well, today we come to this portion in Colossians in which we see how we are to relate to those who are in the world, how we are to relate to outsiders. Now, what's interesting is we'll see later on that outsiders are those outside the church, meaning those who are not saved, those who are not part of the body of Christ. But now we have the world in church. So we got outsiders inside. So how do we relate to those who are truly outside of the body of Christ, those who don't know Jesus? Well, turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 2 through 6. Now, we've been going through the book of Colossians, and we know the Apostle Paul, he is under house arrest, 62 AD. He has heard from Epaphras, the spiritual father of the Colossians, the person who shared the gospel with them, concerning their faith in Jesus Christ and their love for the saints. He has also traveled that 1,600 miles to see Paul, and he has declared and shared with him that there was some difficulty in Colossae, and that there were those, as we see in chapter 2, who were trying to delude the Colossians with persuasive arguments. They were trying to use worldly wisdom packaged religiously to help the Colossians with their struggle with the flesh. And Paul would say in the end of chapter 2 that these things are of no value against fleshly indulgence. That these bad guys we see in chapter 2, we need to resist them in a context of trusting in the complete sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And that's what Colossians is about, really. So the Apostle Paul's solution to the difficulties that we see in chapter 2 are a complete focus on Jesus Christ. He is the Redeemer. We've been saved, and he is the one in whom all things were brought about, and he holds all things together. And he is the head of the church. And in him, we see that he has everything we need. We are complete in him. We saw that in chapter 2. We have a complete salvation in Christ. And it is Christ whom Paul proclaimed, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And then we came to chapter 3 where we saw how we are to truly walk, in a sense, how we are to walk. As we have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. And then we have some practical commands in chapter 3. First of all, we're to set our mind on the things above, not the things of earth. We're to focus on the things of Christ, where he is, knowing that our life is hidden in him and will be revealed when he is revealed in glory. And then we're to put to death sexual sin. We're to say no to it. We're to not let it live in our lives. And we're to actually thus put on the Lord Jesus Christ and put off sin also. We're to say no to sin, but we're to say yes to Christ. We're to abide in Him and trust in Him. We're to have His Word dwelling richly in us. We're to have His peace ruling over our hearts. And then we came to the relationships and how God has ordered them and how we are to function in the context of abiding in Christ. The marriage relationship, parent-child, the work relationship. And here today, we're going to see very clearly how we are to relate to outsiders. Okay, with that in mind, you should be at Colossians chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you are to respond to each person. Wonderful passage, and we're going to see very clearly that in the context of having the Word dwelling richly in our hearts, in the context of allowing His peace to rule us, how we are to relate to outsiders. And we're going to see, first of all, that we are to be praying. We're to be devoting ourselves to prayer. We're to be those who are focused on God and Him opening the doors for how we are to relate. So we're going to see that we should be praying for opportunities, and then we should walk wisely towards unbelievers. Okay, so with this in mind, first of all, notice we need to pray for opportunities. You know, one of the problems that we have often when we are wanting to share with those who don't know Christ is those situations come upon us and we're just thrown into them. And we're really not ready. We're really not prepared. We're not ready. Maybe God's opened a door. We didn't even pray for that open door. And so we need to pray, as we'll see, for open doors. Notice what he says here. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And so we're going to see that we need to be praying. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Verse 3, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. I think this is the missing element in our evangelism, folks, is trusting and abiding in the Lord and praying for open doors. I think it really is, because the Lord brings people around us all day long. But we need the doors to be open. So notice what he says here, devote yourselves to prayer. This is an imperative command, and we are to be continually, habitually devoting ourselves to prayer. Now this term devote actually carries the meaning of persist or continuing in, occupying oneself diligently. It's even spoken of in terms of waiting. Wait, persist, stay there, you know. Devote yourself to waiting in a sense, right? Persist in it, continue in it. We see that we are to tend consistently. We're to focus on it. We're not to give up. We're not to let go. We're to be praying consistently. We're to devote ourselves to prayer. And here we're commanded to continually, habitually, I believe, persist in prayer. You know, we pray a little bit here, a little bit there. We need to continually, habitually pray. You know, when we don't pray, God doesn't respond. We need to pray. We need to pray about everything, as we'll see, because that is one of the means in which He has ordained that He does things, through answering prayer according to His will. And as we'll see later on, when we don't pray, that shows that we're not being dependent on Him. We're not relying on Him. And so who gets the glory when things happen when we're not praying? Well, the circumstances, or we do, rather than God, right? God needs to receive the glory for what He's truly doing. So with that in mind, you might be asking, well, what is prayer? You say prayer. Well, we assume we understand because we're saved for so long, and we do probably, but maybe there's some who just came to faith. What is prayer? Well, prayer is simply communication with the living God, and here it is a command for believers. You see, because apart from the prayer for salvation in Christ, God does not hear those who are in their sins. He chooses not to listen because of sin. You see, sin causes a separation between you and God. Before we were saved, God didn't hear your prayer, but He'll hear your prayer for salvation. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so here we have this command that we are to be devoted in prayer. We're to give constant attention to prayer. And folks, as I mentioned, sin gets in the way. For believers even, David writes in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord doesn't hear. It's not that he doesn't hear. He doesn't hear in that he's not going to answer. So if I've got sin in my life that I'm not dealing with, I could pray all day long for open doors, and God just wants me to deal with the sin. He wants us to confess that sin. So we are to give constant attention to prayer. Now, this is in relationship to non-believers, but we're going to see it's for everything too. We're to live a lifestyle of prayer, simply talking to the Lord continually, habitually. Is that not what 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is God's will for me? Well, let's start with the things we know. Rejoice and pray and be thankful, right? Continually, right? That we know that's true. You see, if we get those things down, we're going to be much easier to be led by him through his word in other areas of our lives. So to the Colossians and to us, there's an imperative command. He's saying pray without ceasing. Pray continually, okay? We're to pray at all times. Well, does that mean that we're to be on our knees all times and at work, you know, you're ready to do something. Boss says, okay, hey, grab that bag of potatoes. And you say, I'm sorry, I need to pray first. You know? No, the reality is we talk to the Lord at all times, right? We're to be in a continual open conversation with the Lord in the context of humility and thankfulness, as we'll see. We're to have a constant attitude of prayer. We're to be praying all times. You see, this should be a way of life. Like breathing, we should be praying. We should be talking to the Lord. You know, Enoch walked with the Lord. Now, you don't walk with somebody if you're not talking with him, right? I mean, there's a communication, right? And Enoch walked with him, and the Lord took him. So here, we're to be continually praying. And I realize we all fall short. We get distracted very easily. And I'm not talking about some pious, you know, prayer life. I'm talking about just talking to the Lord. Talking to the Lord, making him part of your life. You see, Jesus illustrated this lifestyle of prayer perfectly. You can turn to Mark chapter 1. And there's all kinds of examples of prayer. You don't want to take the examples and force them into a system, okay? When the Lord Jesus shared about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, pray like this, not pray this. He gave us an example of how to pray, okay? Now here in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we see, and in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place, and he was praying there. So he was out praying. Got up right away, he's praying. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. And when they found him, they said to him, everyone is looking for you. Right? And that's the thing. Everything in this life is calling for us to get going and forget the Lord. When you get up in the morning, everything is going. Everything's going on. There's people, there's stuff, it's going on. Everything is happening. We need to be focused on the Lord first. And we need to be focused on him throughout the day. We need to be reminded of this. You see, if we're not praying, we're not effectively walking with him, right? There should be prayer, constant conversation as we go along throughout the day. The early church was devoted to prayer. You know, when you get saved, you're pretty much praying all the time, right? Then all of a sudden, the world and life gets in the way, and we stop focusing on the Lord as much. Acts 1:14, these were all with one mind continually devoting themselves, that's that word, to prayer. Acts 2:42, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and prayer. That's one element they're doing, devoting themselves to it. Think of, what are you devoted to? What do you focus on? What are you devoted to? We see in Romans chapter 12, we are to be, verse 12, devoted to prayer. Let's look at that. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And this is the application of the gospel, by the way. First of all, we're to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, acceptable and holy, which is our spiritual service of worship. Then we're to be renewing our minds. And then we're to be using our gifting. And this is some of the application of what we should be doing. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Look at this. Devoted to prayer. devoted prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. We're to be devoted to prayer. And the Apostle Paul modeled this. He was praying. He was praying. You see, throughout his epistles, he's praying for believers. And you see, he also is asking for prayer. Look at Romans 15:30. You know, sometimes it strikes me odd how some people can have such big things going on in their lives and not ask for prayer. I don't get that, how you can come and be in fellowship here. I'm not saying you're doing that, but in a general sense, and have things going on and not ask for people to pray for you. We should be asking for people to pray. Look at what the Apostle Paul does. Romans 15:30. Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. He's saying, pray for me. He's saying that I may be delivered from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem might prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in the joy and by the will of God and find refreshing and rest in your company. He's, pray for me. Pray for me, brothers and sisters. Ephesians 6:19, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, that make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of God may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. Now, the Apostle Paul is obviously an apostle. He's obviously gifted, but he's praying, and he's asking for prayer. We can do nothing apart from Christ working in our lives, and we should be asking for prayer in everything we do. Pray for us as a church, as we step forward and minister, pray for us that we'll be able to do this, that God will be gracious and grant us this, that he protect us from evil, right? So be praying. Paul recognized that he needed to be dependent on the Lord, and we see that in his prayer. When you're praying, you're dependent on the Lord. If you're not praying, you're not dependent. If you go to work, you don't ask the Lord to help you in your work, you're not dependent on the Lord. Help me to work. Help me to do this, Lord. I need your help. Help me to respond rightly, Lord God. Help me to act rightly. Help me to do the right thing, Lord. When situations arise, like Nehemiah, just in the moment, pray, right? Pray. One pastor writes, if I as a Christian live in a perpetual state of personal insufficiency, perpetual state of recognizing my dependence on God, if I live continually thankful for everything he does to me, continually repentant over my sin, expressing my love for others, it's going to flow out in prayer to God. It really is, I believe so. So then we're to be devoted to prayer. And that prayer, how much you pray, is an illustration of how much you depend on the Lord, really. When you wake up, start talking to the Lord. I hope you do. You get up, good morning. You know, not only to say good morning, but just, you know, you get up, Lord, thank you for this day. You know, whatever it is, you're praying. Lord, you should be thinking about him first. All this world is beckoning us to get our attention somewhere else. Everyone's looking for you, right? But get focused on the Lord. And as I mentioned before, I encourage people, the first thing you look at in this digital world, get into the Bible in the morning first. Show the Lord that you're going to trust him by doing that first before having to take care of all your stuff. You got lots of stuff. We all got lots of stuff to do. Be praying. Keep talking to God. It's a command. Persist in prayer. Persist. Talk to him all day long. Cultivate a lifestyle of prayer. Continually acknowledge your dependence on him and then trust him to do what he says. So let me ask you, and I ask myself this, how's your prayer life? Do you pray continually? Do you have a running conversation with the Lord? Not perfectly, I understand that, right? Are you sharing everything with him? You know, when you have a relationship with somebody, you share your life with them, right? We have a relationship with the living God. We're sharing with him, right? If sin and selfishness is in the way, just confess it. He's faithful and just to forgive it. That happens to us. We get focused. We get redirected. We get sidetracked. Lord God, forgive me. I just have forgotten about you, practically speaking. We know the Lord. We love him, but we can forget about him, practically speaking, in our daily stuff, right? I think the same thing happens when it comes to evangelism, as we're going to see. So back in our passage, he says, devote yourselves to prayer. And then notice he says, keeping alert in it. The term here is, I think it's where my name came from, Gregor Ao, okay? It speaks of being on the alert. It means paying attention to. Keeping watch. It's used to speak of keeping watch. We know in 1 Peter chapter 5, we are to be of sober spirit. We are to gregorao, be on the alert. For our adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, right? But resist him firm in the faith. Prayer is of utmost importance because we actually have an enemy also who wants to sidetrack us, who wants to cause us to fall in regards to faith. Remember in the garden what the Lord Jesus told his disciples. He said in Matthew 26:41, keep watching. That's our word, gregorao. Be alert. Be alert and praying that you may not enter into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Gotta pray. Not only are we to be awake and alert, but there's an implication that we're to be expecting the Lord to answer our prayers. We're waiting for him. We're watching for him, right? We're praying expectantly. We believe he's going to answer according to his will. So with that in mind, I often think we forget we're in a spiritual battle. We forget that. And if you're familiar with military tactics, some of you might be if you've been in the military, what does the enemy do before a big invasion? Cuts off lines of communication. You are vulnerable when you're not praying. You are vulnerable. We need to stay in contact with our captain, with our Lord, right? Okay. Do you pray alertly? Is your mind focused on addressing the living God? Are you aware or are your thoughts scattered all over the place? Gather them up. I was talking about that word in Galatians chapter 5 that's translated self-control. It's literally from kratos. Kratos is might. It's from might. Gather up your thoughts by the Spirit's power, right? From his might and power, be controlled. Don't let your thoughts over the place. Keep them focused on the Lord. Set your mind on things above, right? Fix your eyes on Jesus, right? So, do you pray alertly? How's your communication with your Lord and Savior? Is it cut by sin, indifference, disabled by laziness, or distorted by worldliness? There's a war going on. We need to trust our Lord. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and of sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Get your thoughts straight. So we're to be devoted to prayer and alert in it, but notice we're also to pray thankfully. Verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Aren't thankful people a blessing? You bet they are. People who acknowledge things that have been done for them, they're thankful. And when people aren't thankful, isn't that kind of like, oh, you know? You're not trying to judge them or anything, but it's just like, you know? Here, we're to be thankful. We're to have an attitude of thanksgiving, and this is towards the Lord. And this is in the context of prayer. It needs to be part of our life. And if we're not thankful, I bet your prayer life is really non-existent or very self-centered, one or the other. We're to be continually giving thanks. And we see Paul doing this throughout his epistles, giving thanks to the Lord for what he's done. You see gratitude pouring forth. We see we're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer with supplication, with thanksgiving.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, we've just scratched the surface of these verses. What should we be looking forward to?
Well, Dave, what we've seen is that we believers should be in prayer that includes thankfulness for what God has done for us, we're to pray about everything and in everything give thanks. And then what we're going to see in our next broadcast is how prayer is the foundation for how we are to treat outsiders. Okay, well, we're just starting this passage, so make plans to join us tomorrow for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.